Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Baith. Joining me in studio this morning is the Reverend Carlos Hernandez. He's the director of LCMS Hispanic Ministry in the Office of National Ministry, or Office of National Mission. Good morning, Carlos. Thanks so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you very much.
It's good to have you in studio. I get to see you from time to time, being a deployed staff. I get to see you here and there for meetings and things like that, and I've seen you at conferences. But I'm honored to get to have some time to sit down and talk with you and hear your story and hear about the work that you do. Before we went on the air today, you were sharing with me a little bit about your story. You mentioned that for you, it's being Hispanic and a Lutheran your entire life, that's kind of an unusual situation. I'd like to hear about that. Tell me, where do you come from, and tell me your story.
Well, I was born in Brownsville, Texas, which is down on the border. My father was born in northern Mexico, in the state of Tamaulipas, in a town called San Fernando, which I had the privilege of actually visiting when we had Hurricane Emily down in Texas. And there was some damage down in that part of the country. And with the pastors from the Mexican Senate, mm-hmm. we went down there and actually did some disaster response. My father came over, you know, back in the days where you could basically just kind of walk across, and immigration was not a problem as we see it today. In fact, there was a lot of recruitment of Mexicans. You know, they would go to recruit for work in the United States. Mm-hmm. So that's my locale of being born. But when I was young, though, we moved to Houston. And that's when we were introduced to Lutheran Church through a Lutheran school. So I've been a Lutheran actually since the first grade in a Lutheran school.
Wow. So prior to that, did your family have a connection to a church prior to moving there?
Well,
are you familiar with your family's
like
history?
Like many Mexicans, you know, you're Catholic. Mm-hmm. I was baptized in a Catholic church. Mm-hmm. I know where I was baptized on Elizabeth Street in Brownsville. At the Virgen de Guadalupe Catholic Church. And I actually went to visit it and saw the big baptismal font. You know, yeah. Here's where my birth into the Christian faith began. But basically kind of nominal, mm-hmm. you know, not really very active.
So what got your family connected to the Lutheran Church? You mentioned a school there in Houston.
Well, actually a neighbor. I mean, this mm-hmm. is a neighbor invited us. Mm-hmm. And actually had to keep on inviting us. This lady was very persistent. I remember her to this day. Her name was Rebecca Martinez. And when I preached at the 40th anniversary or 45th anniversary of my home church in Houston, it was called San Pedro, Iglesia Luterana de San Pedro, St. Peter's Lutheran Church mm-hmm. and school. She came, and she came a little late, but she had to take three buses to get there, but she was going to come and see this guy who, when he was a little kid, that she invited to church and Sunday school and school, and now is a Lutheran pastor.
I'm sure that was just
a thrill for her. I know. I mean, she was so filled with joy. But so that's how we got in.
So you grew up at St. Peter's.
St. Peter's. And it was about three blocks from historic Trinity. Now, this was in days of, I'm going to say it, this is in days of segregation. Mm-hmm. And I remember riding on the buses in Houston, and I never knew where to sit because, you know, the blacks sit in the back and the whites sit in the front. And
so where do the Hispanics
sit? I played it safe and sat in the middle. But so we basically were not welcomed. You know, uh-huh. I mean, honestly, I mean, that was, we were not welcomed at Trinity. And many of us were, of course, a lot of Mexican-American families could speak English. Mm-hmm. You know, they were bilingual, so they could have gone, but that was the mission model of that mm-hmm. day. I mean, I don't say this in a critical way. I'm just saying,
sure,
there were some good things that came out of it, as I am willing to explain.
So you grew up in this congregation from first grade on. You went to a Lutheran school.
Went to a Lutheran school. My teacher, this is kind of like a godsend, you know what I mean? It's like God had everything ordered for my life. He sent me a 1949 graduate of Concordia Seward, a Mexican guy by the name of Francisco Morales, or Frank Morales. He went to Seward, and he was their star punter. But there never was any more. For years and years and years, there was probably not even now any more Mexican-Americans to go into the teaching ministry. So it's just like God said, okay, I want Frank to be here so Carlos can be taught by him. And I have a plan for Carlos, you know.
So you went to school there for through
the sixth grade. I actually only had the sixth grade. This was a mission policy of the Texas district for Mexican churches, which there was a number of them in the Texas district, you know. I guess they figured, we were told later on that it was, okay, you know, by that time we should have the families in the church. And of course they did. It was a great recruitment tool, a great mission recruitment tool, because the families were just so elated that the Lutheran church was educating their children in an era where, you know, Mexican kids didn't have that privilege of, it wasn't readily accessible. We had, there was black schools, segregated schools, white schools, of course, but with the Mexicans, it's always been iffy in Texas, even to this day, with undocumented workers, you know, where they, every once in a while you hear a Texas initiative to deny education to undocumented. Not that we were undocumented. That was not even an issue back then.
Yeah. So you went from sixth grade to seminary, right?
then, of course, my pastor, who, by the way, was a bilingual German guy by the name of Otto Naumann. And so Otto heard our parents say, okay, pastor, where are we going to send our kids to the seventh and eighth grade? And then maybe on to Lutheran High School. Because they had a Lutheran High School even back then in Houston. So poor Otto, you know, he had to go to all these churches, and, you know, most of them were shaking their head. We're not ready for that. And then there was a pastor at Emmanuel in what is now called, it's called the Heights of Houston, by the name of Elmo Merchant. Later had a professor at the seminary, Professor Ziegler, who when we got to talking, come to find out that was his father-in-law. You know how the Lutheran church is so
Lutheran
interrelated. So. But yeah, so then I went to the seventh and eighth grade. That was the first time I went to an integrated, you know, first time I ever saw Anglos, actually, basically. I mean, other than, you know, in passing, but that we had, you know, friends and interacted together. And a number of us went, you know, I think I was the only guy. We had about three or four girls that went to Emmanuel. And then I only went there for the seventh grade, actually, come to think of it, because then at the end of the seventh grade, we moved to Houston. I mean, we moved from Houston to Los Angeles.
How was that move? How was the community different when you moved to Los Angeles?
Well, my pastor, Otto, wanted to make sure that we continued. Mm-hmm. And so there happened to be, at that time, a congregation that had Spanish services and English services too. It was basically built, you know, exclusively by, you know, for the population in the community east of Los Angeles. That was predominantly Spanish speaking or Mexican American, and it was called Iglesia Luterana de la Santa Cruz, Holy Cross Lutheran Church, but it was in Spanish. And so we continued there with Pastor Sturtevant, David Sturtevant, who was sort of known as the father of Hispanic ministry in Southern California.
And so from there, did you continue in Lutheran schools?
Yeah, absolutely. Then we had to go with Pastor Sturtevant's kids to St. John's in Montebello. So that was maybe a few miles east of L.A. And then continued at Lutheran High School in L.A., Los Angeles Lutheran High School. So, I mean, I went through Lutheran schools from the first grade all the way through high school.
What was the draw? What led you to study at the seminary to become
I mean, even in the first grade, even the second grade, you know, Frank Morales, my teacher, would say, you know, you could be a teacher like me, says, but the best thing you could be is a pastor. It was always talked about in the classroom. You know, that this is the highest calling. I mean, it was, and then my pastor too, my pastor Naumann, and everywhere you went in those days in Lutheran schools, you know, the kids were encouraged to go to the church work. Mm-hmm. So that was just the way things were back then.
So you were encouraged all along to consider it a vocation in the church, to consider being training and then becoming a pastor, a minister of the gospel. And here you are today, now serving as the director of LCMS Hispanic Ministry. And I want to talk about that more so, a Hispanic ministry in the LCMS today. You've kind of painted a picture for us what it was like when you were a child growing up. Now I'd like to hear what it looks like today in the LCMS. We need to take a quick break here in just a minute, and we'll talk more about that. But before we talk today, you said you wear many hats. LCMS Hispanic Ministry is one of the things you do. What are some of the other things you've been involved with in the LCMS?
I actually, my greatest piece of work, and that's because of my clinical training, and I have a degree in counseling and also in clinical work. I'm a certified chaplain. I work with the Soldiers of the Cross, with a lot of church workers in financial crisis, which then brings on other crises. So I do a lot of pastoral care on the phone, and when I have the opportunity, also in person. But also attend to the financial need. One of the most common, I wouldn't say half, but it's more than I ever believed, is when a worker, the church cannot pay their health benefit, and there might be medical issues. So we try to catch them up and help them find some other solutions. So.
Well, very good. We're talking with the Reverend Carlos Hernandez, Director of LCMS Hispanic Ministry in the Office of National Mission here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll get an update on what's going on in Hispanic ministry here in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Stick around for more His Time right after this on Worldwide KFUO, Messenger of Good News.
Do Lutherans fail to move beyond the cross to the resurrection? Do Lutherans overemphasize the events of Good Friday and ignore other major themes of the church year? We'll find out Friday on Issues Etc. from Dr. Matt Richard. We'll also play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week.
Issues Etc. live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on behalf of Concordia Plan Services, Lutheran Church Extension Fund, the LCMS Foundation, Lutheran Housing Support Corporation, Concordia University System, and Corporate Synod, daily reaches out to our members and partners, working together to support our local, global, and international ministries, church workers, and LCMS initiatives at large to carry the mission forward and to serve each other in love. Opportunities to serve, lcms.org/jobsboard.
Listening to Worldwide KFUO on the go with your smartphone doesn't mean you have to walk around with earbuds all day. You can Bluetooth across the room to a speaker system in your home, or listen on radios that have built-in smartphone cradles. There are many easy ways to listen to WorldwideKFUO.org on the air, online, and on demand. We proclaim the clear gospel message of Christ crucified for our sins. The messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.
David is a dreamer.
I want to travel the world and see what lies beyond that hill.
A dreamer who makes a bold choice.
I love you, Father. You know that, but I can't take over the farm.
A bold choice that leads to adventure.
You keep this double-barreled gun beside you.
The prodigal son came to his senses. The question is, will he?
Please, God, save me.
On the next Lamplight on Theater.
Saturday mornings at 11 on Worldwide KFUO.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Today we are talking with the Reverend Carlos Hernandez, Director of LCMS Hispanic Ministry in the Office of National Mission. Before we went to break, we got to hear about your history, Carlos, about growing up in the LCMS, growing up as a Lutheran, and growing up with a family from Mexico and the United States, and what that means to grow up with a Hispanic family, Hispanic roots here in the LCMS. What is it? What does that look like? What does the LCMS look like for Hispanic families today?
I think that we have gone from really trying to reach Well, actually, I should say that's the way Lutherans did mission work, even back in the days of, you know, when it was in German. I was always fascinated by that term Schule Gemeinde, which was a school congregation. We used to start new Hispanic congregations with a school.
Mm-hmm.
My congregation in Houston, San Pedro, and this was the same in other sites like San Antonio, which is where the first mission in Hispanic mission in Texas started. It was always with a school. So there was a school before there was a teacher there before there was even a pastor, or sometimes a pastor who was a teacher before he actually started, you know, be functioning also as a pastor and calling a teacher to take over the work that he started. But it was always through an education, Lutheran, because this has been what, you know, what Lutherans were always known for. I mean, this we're big on schools.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, you know, I mean, for whatever reason, one of them, of course, being finances, many of our schools are closing.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, what's shifted, you know, from the model of reaching Hispanics through a parochial school, and that was the best way, because, I mean, you got the parents right away. I mean, like my father, for example, when we were invited, and I'm the oldest of 13 children, and I don't think we had 13 then, but we had enough. But all these Hernandez kids were welcomed into the Lutheran school. And here, I mean, when it was hard actually even to get an education in Texas, you know, back in the late 40s, early 50s, that my dad would say, if the Lutheran Church wants to educate my children, where do I sign to become a Lutheran? I mean, and it was the same with all the Hispanic families. I mean, like, wow, we're Lutheran. Like, educating my kids, we're there, you know, we're Lutheran. But it went from that to today, more and more we're reaching Hispanic families. We're gaining credibility through mercy, through touching the lives of folks in any kind of need that they might have, needs of recognizing that in order to reach the needs of the soul, the spiritual needs, we have to be concerned. First of all, with their lives and with their physical needs as well.
Give us an example. What are some of the ways that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through your work is reaching the Hispanic communities in the United States?
One of the most common ones, and it's really kind of a low cost, no cost sometimes, a way is by providing classes, English as a second language.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's many congregations that have started a Hispanic ministry. I'm thinking of a congregation that we were asked to come in and help them. The congregation had made the decision that they wanted to do Hispanic ministry. I mean, they were about maybe 40-50% of the community had become Hispanic. That's just in Beardstown, Illinois, not too far from here. And so, I mean, the congregation was ready, and that kind of, you know, surprised me, you know, that these German Anglo folks, you know, we want to do Hispanic ministry. And I asked them the hard questions. Well, why? Why do you want to do this? I mean, but anyway, when they finally, you know, they were convinced this is what they wanted to do. I mean, I think the Spirit really led them and convicted them, you know. We got to take our biblical proclamation seriously.
These are our neighbors.
Yeah, exactly. We should make disciples of all nations. And that they started with English as a second language. They opened up their building. They had a gym, and they said, oh, they're coming over and use the gym. And so they just opened up their facilities for the community. But they started out with English as a second language. And even the pastor, who didn't speak Spanish, I think he's learning fast, an Anglo. And then they decided, they just called a vicar from Fort Wayne. So, I mean, they're serious, but they're attending, first of all, to the needs of the body. And then as the Spirit moves and as opportunities also provide, I know that very quickly they started a Bible class there in Spanish. A Hispanic pastor from East Moline came over and conducted those classes, Reverend Pablo Dominguez. So, yeah, that's an example. I think the most common example is English second language. Also, sometimes tutoring, you know, kids get behind, you know, because of the language. So academically at-risk children are tutored to come up to grade level, you know, and a lot of retired teachers in the Lutheran Church. And so that's been a great ministry. And anything for the kids really draws people and draws the interest of the community in the Lutheran Church and the opportunity to hear the gospel.
Are many Hispanic families in the United States unchurched or nominally churched, as you were describing your family before a while back, but, you know, somewhat connected to the Catholic Church, but not not greatly involved?
Not any more than the rest of the country.
Yeah, just in line with everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, we're all saying this is an unchurched society. I mean, they say it's most prominent in the northwest of this country, what they call the nun zone. But it's the same. However, having said that, there's a more readiness and openness, because I think to hear the gospel, I mean, it's Latinos, Hispanics are spiritual. Religion is an important part of their lives. It just hasn't been tapped, I think. Oftentimes when they come to the United States, then it's just like Lutherans in the Midwest going to California. You know, they drop their transfer in the Rocky Mountains. You know, when they cross the border, you know, they just leave their Catholicism, you know, where they left. And so a lot of them, you know, don't find a community. And, and so they're ready. And we need to be there and want to be there to have that opportunity to share the gospel with them.
Now, you mentioned this congregation in Illinois being an example of reaching out to their neighbors with English as a second language programs and just offering English classes. Are there other ways that are
well,
helpful?
Yeah, as a matter, in this particular case, for example, and this gives you an example also how we go in and consult with them, is we always work with a team. In this case, I work with Reverend Pablo Dominguez from East Moline. We spent 3 or 4 days there. And we asked them, give us as many names as you know of Latinos, Hispanics, that we can go visit. So you got to do that face-to-face. We actually identified a woman who used to work with the social services, the county social services, who didn't need to work anymore. Her and her husband had done very well economically in this town. But she had a hunger to do, you know, she liked what we were doing. And so she says, well, you know, I'll even volunteer, but, you know, we wanted to pay her. Actually, the district, Central Illinois District, actually provided a grant to hire this woman to spend 2-3 days in the office there. They gave her an office and be an information referral person, because so that Hispanics started coming to the church to get information on where do I apply for Social Security, or where do I do this, where do I get this kind of service. And so it became St. Matthew's in Beardstown became sort of a center for Hispanics in the community, and they've gotten a lot of visibility. And like I said, the ministry there is really often running with a vicar that they just called.
So how do you make that connection from these the, as you mentioned, mercy and the earthly needs that we have? How do you make that connection for them to the Word and Sacrament ministry then?
Well, we wait on the Holy Spirit, we wait for them to ask. You know, that's one thing that we don't raise spiritual conversations. They know who we are. I mean, they know where we're from. You know, when we go talk to them, you know, we say that we're from La Iglesia Luterana, San Mateo, St. Matthew's. They know who we are. And, you know, oftentimes we know we have our clerical collars on, and so they know who we are. And so very often, you know, almost immediately, even before we get in too much into serving the physical needs, they'll say, you know, ¿qué son los Luteranos? You know, what are the Lutherans and ¿qué creen los Luteranos? What do they believe? So I was, as I mentioned, Hispanics, much more than the general society, will want to ask, you know, what who are you and what do you believe? And it's wonderful to be able to share the gospel. You will say, here's basically, and sometimes I'll say, how is it different from our traditional Roman Catholicism? And it's amazing their response. You know, it's almost like, really? Salvation by grace through faith? Really? You know, it's just a real joy. But they move you along. The Holy Spirit moves us along a lot faster with Hispanics in getting the opportunity to share the gospel than I think the general population.
With just about a minute left, I know our time has gone so quickly today. Mm-hmm. What would you like for our listeners to know about LCMS Hispanic Ministry?
I think that we need to be there with their issues. Mm-hmm. Several years ago when we had comprehensive immigration reform as a possibility, other Lutheran bodies, other Christians were speaking in favor of comprehensive immigration reform because our immigration system is broken. But the Missouri Synod was quiet. You know, I mean, we address a lot of other issues, but we just didn't want to be too controversial or whatever. And the Hispanic community with my leadership, and we kind of got together and said to the Synod, you know, say something, if it's against the Bible, you know, I mean, say it. I mean, but so we actually got a beautiful statement from now President Harrison, who was the executive director of LCMS World Relief Human Care at that time, and President Kishnick at that time, president. And then we also had a convention resolution. We asked them to have CTCR look at this problem. And now we have a wonderful and very well done researched study on immigration by church relations. Mm-hmm. Dr. Sanchez from the seminary wrote most of it. But we need to be there with their issues, you know, mm-hmm. and sometimes they may be a little controversial. But I think, you know, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of our very excellent mercy pronouncements, I think we do ourselves a disservice in this work if we try to skirt around them and say, oh, no, it's too controversial.
It's okay to have discussion.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know. I mean, we don't have to agree on everything, but we need to put the issues on the table so that Latinos will say that it's the church not only talks the talk, but also walks the walk. They really do care for us and in our most grave issues.
Which then provides opportunities to proclaim the gospel.
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm.
We've been talking with the Reverend Carlos Hernandez, director of LCMS Hispanic Ministry. Pastor Hernandez, thanks so much for being our guest on His Time today.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Coming up in just a little bit, we've got more His Time. Stick around for that. All on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.